So what was it? David Sanger of the New York Times is saying that Obama tried to set up last night from the Oval Office something of a trifecta.
Trifecta.
Afghanistan, right. Iraq, and, of course, Middle East peace. And on that note, the third leg of the trifecta.
Right. He included Iran, though, as well.
That's right. That's right. President, thinking about the Israelis and Palestinians, tried to sound hopeful last night.
Today, old adversaries are at peace, and emerging democracies are potential partners. New markets for our goods stretch from Asia to the Americas. A new push for peace in the Middle East will begin here, tomorrow. Billions of young people want to move beyond the shackles of poverty and conflict.
Well, tomorrow is today. That new push on Middle East peace begins today when Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, sits down with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Washington, the first time they've met face-to-face. And expectations being low, we thought we would ask Aaron David Miller, former Middle East advisor to both Republican and Democratic secretaries of state, you know, where are we at this point? Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, Jim.
The key question for me is, are we picking up threads of previous talks, or is this a kind of a square one moment there in Washington between Mahmoud Abbas and Benjamin Netanyahu?
One of the things that drives this conflict is history, and you cannot erase the past. So both the president, the prime minister, and the Palestinian president will have history very much hovering over these negotiations. It's a long movie. By my count, these negotiations have started at least six times since 1993. There's some new factors. Abbas has done a pretty good job on controlling security issues. Got improvement in the West Bank. On the economic side, you have a very tough but very strong Israeli prime minister. The question is whether all of these things, when you add them up, are going to be enough to overcome the inertia and the complexities that have made a conflict-ending agreement between Israelis and Palestinians so hard.
And inertia and complexity is evidenced by Hamas being sort of implicitly at the table with the violence we've seen overnight. It's certainly a narrative always in these talks that anything could happen on the ground in the occupied territories and scuttle the talks. How do you rate the sort of resilience of these two leaders to make a go of it despite violence?
Well, I think there is some sense on both sides that there's a unique moment here. I guess, like the country song says, maybe one more last chance to try to do this. It's just that the Hamas factor is one of the complexities. You have a Palestinian Humpty Dumpty, basically two security services, two different polities, two different streams of funding. And the question really becomes, does a Palestinian president have the power and the authority to make decisions in the face of a substantial part of the Palestinian community that no longer believes in this? So that's one of the obstacles, Israeli settlement activity, obviously, and whether or not this moratorium that expires at the end of this month will be extended. That's another shadow that's going to be hanging over the talks. So the odds are long. Nobody ever lost money betting against these things, but we'll see. The question really boils down to one, I think. Does Mahmoud Abbas and Benjamin Netanyahu, are they prepared to make the core decisions on the key issues, Jerusalem border security and refugees, that drive the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? If the answer to that question is yes, then you're in business. If it's no, and these guys don't own these talks, then you you might as well hang a close for the season sign on the president's hopes for a two-state solution.
But Aaron David Miller, if we're always dealing with history every time we go into one of these talks, what in past history has ever worked in terms of getting talks to move forward? Has it ever been about the efforts of the United States or other countries, or is that always really about the timing and the power of the individuals involved from Israel and Palestine?
Well, timing and leadership are critical. But we've had some good news over the last 40 years. You have an Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty, which Jimmy Carter brokered. You have an Israeli-Jordanian peace treaty, which former President Bill Clinton supported. You have a disengagement agreement between Israel and Syria that Kissinger negotiated, which lasted since June 1st, 1974, making the Golan Heights, probably the Israeli-Syrian border, the quietest space in the Middle East. You've had some good news. The problem is now you come down to the core of the conflict, and the issues on the table, Jerusalem, refugees, border security, the distances between Israelis and Palestinians, are so small that the reality is unless these parties own this stuff, there's not much that the president is going to be able to do. You know, Larry Summers once said that nobody in the history of the world ever washed a rental car. And it's a really important piece of philosophy. Only care about what you own. And if these guys are prepared to invest in this, then the president has a real chance because he's smart and maybe perhaps fair and prepared to be tough, has a chance to play a role as an effective mediator.
Well, Aaron David Miller, you know, the list you rattled off there of positives all took place, it's striking to remind ourselves, in the last century. So we're getting away from some of those positives. You talked about the Humpty Dumpty situation for Mahmoud Abbas in delivering politically anything he might offer on the table. Benjamin Netanyahu has a similar problem. He can't really deliver a settlement freeze. It's difficult to see what he could actually deliver in the very tenuous Knesset government that he heads.
I think that's right, and that's why I think in the end this is all about leaders willing to stand up and become masters of their political houses, not prisoners of their constituencies. And they're going to have to support one another. That's the other thing. This can't be a zero-sum game. Each guy is going to have to figure out a way, not just to protect his own interests, but to have a stake in supporting the other. If they can do that and invest. And again, this is going to be a long movie. Wouldn't hold my breath looking for big announcements or big breakthroughs anytime soon. And if the president is smart, he won't rush this. He'll slow walk this. He's got his own problems, a jobless recovery, dealing with Iran, the situation in Afghanistan, situation in Iraq, even though we're on our way out, which seems to be moving ever southward. So he has to be careful as well. But the three of them, if in fact they can support one another and they're patient and persistent, who knows?
Right.
Maybe this time around will be different.
Aaron David Miller, former Middle East advisor to both Republican and Democratic secretaries of state. He's the author of The Much Too Promised Land, America's Elusive Search for Arab-Israeli Peace. The takeaway there, do they have it in them to really move forward? Benjamin Netanyahu and Mahmoud Abbas. Aaron David Miller, thanks so much.
Pleasure.